No. Okay, today is August the 27th, 2015. Tomorrow is Fun Friday. And Saturday is our CEF very important meeting. And Sunday is church. We got a full schedule, don't we? Welcome back. Charlie, Mary, I know where Charlie is. He's floating around here somewhere. There he is. And for Ron and Barbara as well. They've been out. How many miles did y'all go in? They went 10,000 miles in, what was it, 2 weeks?
3 weeks.
Yeah. That's rolling. Today is the 28th. 27th. Well, I said 27th. I got 28 on here. I'm glad you said that. I had the wrong date. Okay, let's prepare ourselves in our usual fashion. We'll have a few moments of silent prayer, the option of rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a time when Christianity in these states are diminishing, the numbers are, and those who are still attending church for the most part are getting pablum. Very few are really serious students of the Word of God, and yet you still have been gracious to us. You still have given us the opportunity to not only give the gospel, but to tell it. Anyone who will listen, how great our God is. We still have the opportunity to be here as the royal family of God, meeting together, fellowshipping in the Word and with each other. And we thank you for all these things. We thank you for the time that we can redeem the time by making it purposeful, by inculcating your mighty Word. If there ever was a time that we need it now. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The madness continues. We spend over $1 trillion a year, our government does. And everybody recognizes that they say that they're trying to cut, but that's really not what's happening. I noticed that there was a news headline today that said, Diversity and Inclusion Specialist. I didn't know there was such a thing. A Diversity and Inclusion Specialist job with the Fed is open, and it pays $118,000 a year. The Department of Energy will pay a Diversity and Inclusion Specialist up to $118,000 a year, according to a new job opening in the federal government. The Diversity and Inclusion Specialist position is located in the Office of Diversity and Inclusion. You didn't know that there was such an animal? And the Office of Economic Impact and Diversity. These are departments in the federal government, which are a subsidiary of the Department of Energy. Of course, all of these are completely unconstitutional, and yet once you give the nod to to anything that's unconstitutional, it just keeps building and building, and we're at a place where it's absolutely ridiculous now. The office is responsible for providing leadership, direction, coordination, evaluation, and support for managing a diverse workforce. Gobbledygook. That means, well, not much, especially for 118,000. And you might say, oh, well, that's pretty bad. Well, the next one is, I believe, worse. University of Connecticut now offering transgender voice lessons. I'm not making this up. Doesn't it seem like some schools are going to the extreme lengths to prove how progressive they are? Classes to help transgendered individuals after their vocalizations are starting to be offered this fall at the University of Connecticut. The Transgender Voice and Communication Group offers, quote, an opportunity to use new vocal and communication qualities in a safe and confidential environment, and includes role-playing and other activities. The University of Connecticut did not respond to multiple requests seeking comment on how much it costs the taxpayers to facilitate this group. The campus does charge participants $25 per semester to enroll, according to its online description. Insanity. It reminds me of, I talked to a person one time, and he said that he went to some charismatic church and they were speaking in tongues and he didn't know what it was all about. And the pastor offered to tutor him after Sundays on how to speak in tongues. It's somewhat akin to this, I would say. Okay, let's open our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. You know, the other day I was trying to find out what lesson number we are, and I went back to the first part. And do you know we've been here over 2.5 years in Colossians? It makes me wonder if I'm doing something wrong, because I've heard people, oh, we studied the book of Colossians. There were 4 chapters, and we got through it in 4 lessons. Well, to each his own, I guess, huh? Okay, verse 1. Now, remember, verse 1 really should go with chapter 3 because it's the same material, it's the same context, it's the same of everything. Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Now, I think what I need to do, and Vidal, you might remember to do this, I need to remember, that chapter 4, verse 1, is going to be the last one that has slavery after Colossians, okay? We need to remove that. I think I'll do it now. Because that was really the last verse in chapter 3, or at least it should be. And we don't need this to be slavery anymore. We're done with the slavery. Okay, so verse 2 of chapter 4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. The word devote here is proskartereo, P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O. And it's a present active imperative. So this is something that we are to continue to do, and it's a command. Proskartereo means to persist in something, busy oneself with, be busily engaged in, or be devoted to. It means to devote oneself to keep on, to persist in something, meant to be strong towards, to endure in, persevere in. It came to mean adhere to, persist in, to continue to do something with intense effort, with the possible implication of despite difficulty. In other words, even if there's difficulty, you do not let that deter you from what you're devoted to. And the object of this devotion is prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Here's a few verses that are companion with this one. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. with all prayer and petition, pray when? At all times, in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So we are to pray when? At all times. That doesn't mean that we don't do anything other than pray, but it means at any time, at any place, no matter what the conditions may be, you can pray. Now that doesn't mean you have to put your hands together and bow your head. You can just send up a mental message to God and He gets that just fine. And we have the privacy of the priesthood, so we need to be doing that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. As we night and day keep praying most earnestly. So we don't just pray during the night. During the day, we pray at night at all times. But what we don't do is have a set time frame like Muslims do. They pray seven times a day, or at least purportedly they do. And it becomes rote. You need to pray when the Spirit moves you and not pray according to the clock. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 5. Continue in entreaties and prayers night and day. 2 Timothy 1:3. I consistently remember you in my prayers night and day. A lot of people pray at night only. They get up and they're late. They don't think about God. They don't think about thanking Him for giving them another day. And they're off. And they're in a whirlwind of a day. And they go home and they're trying to get ready for the next day. They fall into bed and their head hits the pillow. And they try to stay awake long enough in order to eke out a prayer. But this says not only night, but day as well. Three times. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Now he, referring to Jesus Christ, was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. And I want you to underline all times. Any time. There's never a time when you can't go to the Lord. You won't get a busy signal and you're not going to get a bill. Saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. Seems like not much changes, does it? And there was a widow in that city. And she kept coming to him saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while, he was unwilling. But afterward, he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because the widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection lest by continually coming, she wears me out. This was our Lord that said this. You think he wasn't practical? I think he's kind of funny. I think that he was making the point here. This was a parable. Verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? Here we have it. It's first time I saw it reversed. Usually it's night and day. Here it's day and night. Shall not God bring about justice for His elect who cry to Him day and night? And will He delay long over them? And of course, the answer is no. I tell you that He will bring about justice for them speedily. However, When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So what is this talking about? I think what it's talking about is that forget the idea that you're going to God too often in prayer and that you're just a nag. He's talking about a judge who did not fear God and did not respect people, and he recognized persistence. And it's the same with us, with our God. Persistence is extremely important. Persistence is joined to the hip of consistency. Essentially, they're one and the same. Do you remember? I think it was our last lesson, Tuesday. I was talking about parents. I said, what most parents miss out, they miss the mark because of one word, and that is consistency. They are not persistent. Now, we're taking that word and we're going to direct it towards prayer. We are to be persistent. And I'm talking about over the long haul. I'm talking over about years and decades. Have you ever prayed for someone for a long, long time and saw no result? Y'all have, haven't you? Well, it could be that God's just testing your persistence. Are you going to give up on me? Or are you going to continue to come to me with your petitions for other people and as well as for yourself as well? But it's persistence that always pays off. I think anyone who is successful in anything has that quality, and that is they are consistent, they are persistent. Whether it's playing an instrument, whether you're an actor or you're in a dancer or whether you're a great surgeon, whatever you may be, you don't get there by just giving up. Trying it, I don't know. Carrie and I gave my grandson a little guitar. We got it in Mexico. It was junk, but it didn't matter because the strings didn't last for... But there might be a time when he really wants to learn to play the guitar, and I will be more than willing to teach him. But it will do no good unless what? He's persistent. I remember when I was in high school, I wanted to learn to play the guitar, and I wanted to learn how to play it so bad. I didn't want to play it bad. I just had an intense desire. And I went to a music place. I guess I found it in the paper somewhere. On Alabama, it was across from that movie, the big, the Lowe's, I believe it is. Anyway, it's a bookstore now. And right across in this little strip mall was Gestantes Music. And I went in for the first time. I was so excited. And Mr. Gestantes was an Italian that weighed about 300 pounds.
And had a big voice.
And so I went in there, and my first lesson, I was trying to play notes, and every time that you missed a... Oh, no! And he'd wave his hands like that, and he would scream. And I was melting in the seat. I mean, my hands were shaking. Sure, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be able to do it now. But I did not let that deter me because what... By the way, that was my last lesson. Because I didn't ever want to play notes anyway. I wanted to strum and sing because I was heavily influenced by folk music. I love folk music. That was in the mid-60s. Peter, Paul, and Mary and those people. And I used to... There were coffee shops along where... Post Oak and Westheimer and all these places. And they had these little coffee shops and they had people playing folk music. No electric guitars, none of that. It was folk music, and they would have one act after another. And they were good. Some of them were good enough to be professionals. I had this great desire to do it. And the reason that I still have a guitar here, and I play still, I play at it, I play good enough to plunk along so we can sing and make a joyful noise. But the only reason that is true is because I was persistent. I didn't let that Mr. Gastante stop me. I bought a book. Mel Bay was the author. And it was self-taught how you play the guitar. I'm just giving you that as an illustration. I think when it says, our first word here is devote yourself, I think you could translate that just as well as be persistent. Be consistent. Because if you're devoted, that's what you're going to do. And if you're not devoted, you're not going to be consistent. You're going to drop off the radar screen and it's not going to happen. And hope that all you know, and I'm sure that you do, but the people that don't know this or don't recognize it, aren't online or aren't here to hear it, I hope you know that the most important thing in life, every believer's life, is consistency in taking in the Word. That's got to be priority number one. You have to devote yourself to it. Because if you don't, and you drift off course, you get distracted, you're going to pay the price. Because our old sin nature wants to take control of the command post of our soul. And when we don't nourish our soul every day with divine viewpoint, then we start to really become unrecognizable to what we were when we were taking in doctrine. Consistency. No one is going to reach spiritual maturity apart from being devoted to God and His Word, apart from being consistent, apart from being persistent. Nobody reaches the spiritual maturity. And there's a lot of people in churches, in this church as well, that believers get sloppy. They think that we can just coast. We're just really busy. We'll get back to it sometime. Someday we'll get back and we'll start live streaming, getting doctrine and all this. And what they don't know is they're getting further and further and further away. And the further you are away, the harder it is to get back. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. I'm through with Luke here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Two words. Rejoice always. If you're like me, and probably everyone else, you comply with that sometimes. Isn't that right? Things are going good. You rejoice. Well, we know that our joy does not depend on our circumstances. Our joy depends upon our rapport with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. That means uninterruptedly. Now, I didn't make up that word. I got that from the BDAG lexicon that I got this from. Uninterruptedly, without omission. There's no spaces in there. I mean, it's not every moment, but there's no day that goes by that you're not praying along the way. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. So we rejoice always. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Boy, could we spend a long time just on that verse. There's a lot there, isn't it? And that does not come automatically, nor does it come to the spiritual lightweights. This is not for the immature believers. Prayer is not a spiritual option. It is essential for growth. It's not an option that God says, well, I'll tell you what, maybe if you want to pray, go ahead and pray. If you don't want to pray, that's all right. It's not an option. And you'll never grow spiritually apart from prayer. It takes persistency in prayer to get anywhere in this life. Prayer is as vital to one's spiritual health as breathing is to one's physical health. You want to know how vigorous you are in your spiritual life, all you have to do is look at your prayer life. Your prayer life is a barometer. I don't know about you, but I can't hold my breath very long. I think I used to be able to do it longer than I can now. But I think if my car ever went off into a ditch and it was full with water, I don't think I could hold it long enough to get, if I had a roll-down window like I have in my truck, I don't know if I could hold it long enough to get that down, especially when my heart's trying to beat out through my mouth and something like that. So, we need oxygen in order to live physically, and we need oxygen in order to live the abundant life spiritually. It's hard to overemphasize the importance of prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3. We had this a while back. We give thanks to God the Father. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you. You see, giving thanks is always or should be, always be a part of prayer. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. That seems like a long time ago. I guess it was when we were there, huh? Been in there 2.5 years. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, and that is other believers' love for the Lord, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. See, look what they're praying for each other. First of all, notice that they're praying for each other. Now, I assume, and I hope that this assumption isn't incorrect, but I assume that every one of you pray for each other. And I'm talking about praying for each other by name. I don't know what God thinks about someone saying, well, God bless everybody at Country Bible Church. I don't know what God thinks about that. I don't think much of it. It reminds me of when I was in a particular denomination, and everybody would say, they would end their prayers by saying, and forgive us of our sins. Sometimes they would say, and forgive us all of our sins. They might even say, forgive us all of our sins. And I'm wondering, who is the all? Is it just talking about in this room, in this church, in this state, or the whole world? I just don't know how a verse, why not just say, Forgive everybody in the world. You see, do you think that holds much water? That's the way I learned to pray when I was growing up in a church, and I would not end a prayer. In fact, everybody that I heard pray would end it, and forgive us of our sins. See, they didn't understand rebound. They didn't know it's personal, one-on-one. And I can't ask God to forgive you of your sins if you don't acknowledge them to Him. Only you can do that. I can't do it for you. I can't command God to say forgive anybody of anything. So they're praying for each other. And look what they're asking for. That they may be, one believer to another believer is praying, that they may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. They're not praying to get a better job. They're not praying in order to a woman that maybe has sweet on some guy that they'll be able to come together, get married and all this. No, it's about being filled with what? Knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Here we have, you see, knowledge. Always you see this knowledge emphasized. Because you can't go anywhere in the spiritual life apart from knowledge and prayer. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to just kick in for good measure. Thanksgiving, gratitude goes with it as well. What are we supposed to do? Rejoice always. Give thanks in everything. Now, in our verse. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it. Keeping alert is one word in the Greek. It's Gregorio. G-R-E-G-O-R-E-O. It's a participle, present active. It means to be in consistent readiness. There's that consistency again. Be on the alert. Now, I have a very good friend that is named Greg, and he loves to tell me, I don't know how many times he's asked me, you know what my name means? Yes, yes, I've heard it. I know, I know. Be on the alert. So that's what it means. It means be on the alert. One reason people fail to be consistent in prayer is because prayer takes concentration. Sometimes people can be so tired that they fall asleep while praying. And I'm so glad that none of you have ever done that. I'm so glad that I've never done that. But there's a verse that essentially covers that. Here it is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You ever heard that? That's a Bible verse. That's a scripture right there. And that happens sometimes. I don't know. I don't even remember when the last time that I ever went to bed as an adult. I don't remember what I did that much in it. Well, I remember some of the things, but now I lay me down to sleep. Y'all remember that one? That used to be my standard. But I can't even remember when the last time that I went to sleep without praying. It's not a good luck charm. It's more than just routine. It's just like I have to check in. I mean, the day is over, and I kind of review the day in my head, and it's fresh in my mind of people that I encountered or am thinking about to pray for, issues and so forth. But more than one time, in the middle of it, somewhere along the way, I was gone. And then I woke up, and I don't know how long I was out. But sorry, Lord. You know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So it's just like there's been people here, and I'm sure this happens at every church, that you have a particular hard day and you are exhausted and you can't keep your eyes open. And I've had people come up to me, I'm sorry that I've kind of dozed off there a little bit. And I said, no reason to be that way, because I can sympathize with you. When I used to go to Baraka Church, and they have the harshest lights in there. I mean, they got 1,000 lights in there, bright lights. And the seats are about this wide, and they're kind of straight up. And they're wooden backs to them, and my knees are, you know, kind of up like this. But I can even get comfortable like that. And the colonel would be teaching something, just blasting away, and it was so good. But I would say, I'm just going to rest my eyes for just a second. And I would shut them, and they were burning. And it felt so good just to keep my eyes shut. But I was listening. I mean, I didn't fall asleep. Now, that's where some judging can come in. Somebody could be over there and see me, you know, like he's dozing off. Didn't have anything to do with that I wasn't interested. Didn't have anything to do with me not thinking that what he was teaching was not very important. It's just that I don't think you could hold a gun on me and say, if you shut your eyes, we're going to execute you. I'd say, pull the trigger, I can't keep me. It's just like weights are on your eyes. Have you ever been there? So, now that's not a solicitation for y'all to start taking naps. I just thought I'd throw that in, because I can see everything from here. We must make sure that our prayer life does not become stale. Prayers that are nothing but rote repetition. Prayers like, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." Have you ever heard that? Well, if you hadn't heard it, you don't know many Lutherans. I probably wasn't supposed to say that. But I've heard it a lot around here because there are a lot of that denomination around here. And I have gone to different meetings, celebrations, all these different occasions. And I've seen pastors get up to lead the prayer for 100 people or more for the meal, and it's, "Come, Lord Jesus." And my job and your job at that point is to stop judging. See? I'm thinking, well, I don't need to tell you what I was thinking. But that, what does that mean? It means nothing. It means as much as when I was saying, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." And sometimes I was really sleepy and I was saying, "Now lay me down to sleep." Okay, I'm good. Why even go through it? It reminds me when I was in high school. I can't remember if we did this in college or not. But anyway, I know we did in high school. Right before we would go out on the field, they say, "Take a knee." Did they do it with you too, Ron? Maybe some of you other guys recognize this. We'd take a knee, and guess what prayer they would pray? The Lord's Prayer every time. And I guess it's sacrilege, but the last thing any of us were thinking about at that time was the Lord's Prayer. We were about to go out into the arena and do combat with thousands of people watching us, and we were like very high on steroids. But not drugs, I'm talking about the adrenaline was flowing. And so it usually would start out by saying, starting out, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be our name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." By the time we were done, I mean, it was just kind of natural that. And then everybody, they get up and run out on the field. I think it's like a token. It's like a bone thrown to God. That's probably sacrilege. But it's just like, well, we'll do this thing. It's a ritual. It's a good thing to do. But what did it mean? None of us were thinking about what it meant. None of us didn't even know that that's not the prayer for the church age believers anyway. All we knew is we were about to get out there and get with it. So all these prayers, these rote prayers, there's no, you know what's missing? Concentration and content. Not only are we to be vigilant while praying, we must stay alert to maintain the consistency of our prayer life. When we pray, we need to stay alert. We need to keep concentrating. And I don't know, this takes effort. I mean, after all, if most people pray for some of the same things every day. I've given prayers, I've prayed to the Lord, and I thought afterwards, well, that was totally pathetic. If I was the Lord, I would not hear that prayer. I mean, you can only say the same thing if you're praying for the same person for the same problem. You can only say it so many ways. When you keep asking for the same thing, that's not the kind of repetition I'm talking about. I'm talking about the repetition of memorized prayers that are just said as a good luck charm. But we also have to make sure that we are consistent in our prayer life. Life can become so hard and so much pressure that we are dealing with so many issues that we literally forget to pray. right? I mean, am I the only one? We should also keep alert after our prayers, looking for God's answer. Psalm 5, 1 through 3. For the choir director, for the flute accompaniment, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. You hear that? When he says groaning, there's a scripture that talks about the Holy Spirit can be a mediator for us to God with groanings that cannot be heard. What that means is we try in our feeble, the best way we can, to articulate what's really in our soul. And a lot of times, it's, if you were grading it, you'd say this kindergarten. It's hard to express sometimes in words what's in our soul, but God is so gracious, the Holy Spirit utters groanings. He intercedes for us with what we really are trying to communicate. And that's what I thought about when I saw this groaning. So it says, heed the sound of my prayer. This is David praying to God. The sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for you I pray. To you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. When he says his orders, he will order my prayer. In other words, that's the order or the routine of his life. The first thing he does is order his prayer. In other words, that is the order of his life in the morning. And he says, I will order my prayer to you and what? Eagerly watch. What is he watching for? He's watching to see God fulfill his petitions. And so we have to be alert during prayer. We have to be alert that our prayer life doesn't kind of go off the radar screen. We also have to eagerly watch to see if God's answering our prayers. And when we see Him watching our prayers, what do? We give thanks. Are you busy? Are you so busy that you don't have time to pray, or you are simply lazy? No problem. In our modern age of computers and technology, you can simply go to this website, informationageprayer.com. And here's what you find. I went to the site, by the way. It says outsourcing your prayer life. Who hasn't found it difficult to find the time to pray on a regular basis? There's always time to pray when the chips are down, but on a regular basis, not so much. That can be more difficult. Well, never fear. Now you can outsource your prayer life for $3.50 per month at informationageprayer.com. You can have the Lord's Prayer recited for you daily. Catholics can purchase a complete rosary package for nearly $50. This is not made up. It's not a joke. It's the website. You can go there and see it for yourself. Now, I am not recommending this, you know. I'm just showing how far-fetched some people are when prayer. They don't have a clue what it's about. And they're willing to spend $3.50 for someone else to pray the Lord's Prayer, prayer for them every day. Here's another one. Everyone starts praying when the flames come. That's like you've heard, there's no atheist in a foxhole. In 1972, Joan Baez was a singer and activist who was always working on a cause. By the way, Joan Baez put out these books to play the guitar as well. She was a folk singer and a hippie. They were called hippies back then. During the Vietnam War, she traveled to Hanoi with a peace delegation and was there during the American bombing campaign that lasted 12 days. We spent the whole time in the basement of our hotel. I have never been so afraid in my life. I thought I was going to die. But I learned something. When the flames start coming towards you, everyone starts praying, even the atheists and the agnostics. But when the flames start fading away, we all go back to the structures and beliefs that we had before. Well, that's her commentary on it. And so I guess in that bomb shelter, it appeared that there were no true atheists or agnostics. When the building's shaking and the dust is falling down and you think you might be toast at any moment. Prayer does not nullify action on our part. We don't pray for something to come about and then exert little or no effort to make it happen. We are to do all that we are able to do and then trust God to bring it about. I think this captures it very well in this little saying here. An old pastor in Georgia used to make this statement, quote, "When a farmer prays for a corn crop, God expects him to say amen with a hoe in his hand." Is that communicative? I can't remember the story. I probably shouldn't tell it because I don't remember it well enough. But there was a British ship that was caught in a windless sea. And the pirates were coming. The enemy, I guess it was pirates. And the captain told the chaplain to say a prayer for wind. And the chaplain refused to do so. And the captain said, "Why not?" He said, "I will pray when you put all the sails out." And the captain said, "Look, we don't have time to fool around. The enemy's pressing in on us." He says, "You pray." And he said, "No, I will not pray until you put all the sails out." And the captain got desperate. He put all the sails out. And the chaplain said a prayer, and whew, here comes the wind. Another illustration. Now, we do all this with an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, this Greek word should be familiar to you. Eucharistia. Eucharistia. Comes into English as the Eucharist. What does the EU on the front of this word mean? Good. Not in every word, but most of the time, this EU, like on this, is actually a compound word. You have the EU, which means good, and charistia, meaning grace. Sometimes it's thanksgiving. It's an expression or content of gratitude, the rendering of thanks, thanksgiving here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." That's a big order there, isn't it? Always giving thanks for all things? Are you kidding me? Huh? Always, that means for the flat tire. That's talking about when the refrigerator quits working. But what I want to make out of this verse, I think you might want to jot these down. It says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father." So it's going through the Lord Jesus Christ to get to the Father. Often verses that show that we are to direct our prayers to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, and here's some of them. Because some people will ask you, "Well, why do you pray in Christ's name?" Well, the reason we do is because He is our mediator. He is the one between us and God. We go to the Father through Jesus Christ. But if they want scriptural verification, this verse, Ephesians 5:20, is one. But also Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, John 16:23, Colossians 3:17, 1 Timothy 2:5, and Hebrews 7:25 are all verses that demonstrate that when we pray, we don't pray to Jesus Christ, we don't pray to the Holy Spirit, we don't pray to Mary, we don't pray to anyone except God the Father, and the only way we do it is using the chain of command, which is going through Jesus Christ. It is really arrogant to think that we can just go straight to God the Father without going through Jesus Christ. Because the only reason that we have any relationship or anything to do with God the Father is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the way that God set it up. This is the way we are to operate, and those are the verses for it. What is y'all's temperature? Can you go for this verse too? Okay. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing. You know another way of translating that? Y'all got it. Yeah. Stop worrying. But in everything. Here we have it again. In everything. I don't know if you're there yet that you give thanks for everything. And in everything, I mean, I get there, but not right away. First, I got to blow off steam and I got to complain. And then I remember, oh yeah. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is praying for other folks. With thanksgiving, you don't ever leave that out. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you, when the chips are down, when it's extreme pressure, when you are afraid, this verse means everything. Because when you remember that God is in control of all things and that He loves you with a love that is immeasurable, and you go to Him in prayer because He asks us, He commands us to put our burden upon Him. And when we do that, you experience a peace that nothing else, it doesn't come any other way. It's between you and God. And you put that burden on God, and you believe that He has heard your prayer and He's going to take care of it. And it's literally like a big burden. You know, have you ever had something that was you were so concerned about, and it's like you were just carrying it. You were just bent over with this heavy burden. You were consumed with a problem. But when you give that problem to God and you really let go of it, it's like now you can stand up. The burden is off of you. Now you can have what was missing when you were being anxious, when you were worried and frightened, is gone because now it's in God's hands. That's where the peace comes. And it only comes through prayer. No other way. And it's between you and God. Only you can do it. And when you do it and you trust God, it's like being able to, now I can live again. It's off of me. And of course, that comes with thanksgiving. I think that's a good verse to end on. We'll pick this up Tuesday. Let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come to You at any time, no matter what the circumstances, and You are ready to hear us. You want us to put our burden upon You so You can show Your omnipotence and Your omniscience and Your phenomenal love. And it brings glory to You for us to do that. So we pray that we will be vigilant in prayer while we're praying, that we'll be very conscious of what our prayer life is, that it doesn't slack, and that we are also alert to see how You answer our prayers. And when we do this, we will be surprised at how faithful You are, demonstrating to us not only that You love us, but You are totally engaged in our life. We pray that we will think about these things and put them into practice. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.